Gavin here, and I'm joined as usual by Tim Overall for our, well, not quite monthly chat this time. We'll get to this month, so it's a bit of a bonus. Welcome, Tim.
Yeah, thanks, Gavin. And foggy morning this morning earlier on in Braidwood.
Yeah. Well, it's our third for the week.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed it was all clear until we got to the Shoalhaven River, and then it was quite heavy.
Yeah, no, it was earlier on, it was foggy most of the way in, so. All right, you had a few commitments last week, so.
So I had the regional cities meeting in Sydney, regional cities New South Wales. I was elected chair to regional cities New South Wales late last year for a two-year stint, and that's an alliance of 16 member councils, really dedicated to the growing of regional cities across New South Wales. And you know, the members include regional cities such as Tamworth, Albury, Queanbeyan, Port Macquarie, Griffith, Bathurst, Wagga, Orange, Dubbo, and so forth. Goulburn, Mwarri, also as a member as a council too. So, and then we had the Canberra Region Joint Organisations meeting in Sydney on the Friday. So it was a busy time. And then back to Braidwood from Sydney on Saturday for the Law and Order exhibition opening at the museum on Saturday morning, and then up to Nerriga on Saturday lunchtime for the big thank you day.
Yeah, I heard you were out there, so yeah, it's pretty busy. You've been all over the place. You've been busier than me.
Well, it was busy time, but it was a big event up at Nerriga, I have to say. It was huge.
Yeah.
People had come from all over the district.
Right. Yeah. So, well, they were lucky to get, apparently they had Shane Fitzsimmons come to do the presentation. So
yeah, he made a very telling speech as usual, and Shane did, and of course Sarah and Phil and the RFS, Simon.
Right.
Yep, all there speaking. It was really good.
All right. Okay, so we've got some good news announcements coming up.
Yeah, well, just before I get on to that, I just might mention the Regional Cities New South Wales again. You know, we signed a memorandum of understanding with the Deputy Premier. So it's a MOU with the state government to work strategically, the government and Regional Cities New South Wales, on regional growth strategies. We've had a lot of discussion about the emergency services levy and how that should be restructured. See, what happens is that councils actually have on their books all the RFS facilities around the state. So they're on council books. We pay the depreciation, and then about 12% of everything you pay in rates to council, we have to then pay to the state government for emergency services, mainly the RFS.
Right.
So we believe it's time, as does local government across the state, that it needs to be remodeled. That, you know, our emergency services levy, our 11%, just in 2 years has gone from, as Queanbeyan Council, from 1.5 to over $2 million in 2 years.
Right.
We have the annual rate peg where we can increase rates by about 2.3%, whatever the government dictates.
Mm.
But this increase in the emergency services levy is greater than what we get on the rate peg. So our councils are going backwards. And they're covering depreciation and maintenance of all these RFS facilities.
Right.
So we believe it should be like the ambulance service, where it's properly funded by the state government, that the assets taken off council books, and it be structured in that way, because it's impacting council significantly, and it's really an anachronism from the past going right back in history. So we had a lot of discussion about that, as we did with the Canberra Region Joint Organisation, and also in regard to regional strategic planning, but also the government's rate review, infrastructure payments and population statistics all coming into play as we go into the next couple of years. New reforms to state government tax, stamp duties, how all these interplay and connected, well, they should be connected and billed by the state government and not through councils in the future. But that's there's some of the discussions we had. After the Regional Cities New South Wales meeting, there was a small delegation, including myself and the Deputy Chair, the Mayor of Albury, and two GMs had a meeting with the Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, in regard to what we're proposing for council and state revenues going forward.
All right. Does it appear positive?
Yeah, she was really, the Premier was really engaged with what we had to say.
Right.
So I think it's the first time regional cities have met with the Premier, which was facilitated through the Deputy Premier's office. And so that was a good outcome also, just to be able to get our agenda on the table, and we'll be making formal submissions in regard to those very key matters. But some good news announcements.
All right. Country bridges.
Country bridges. Yeah, look, fixing country bridges program. Three bridges in our local government area will receive funding to be replaced under the New South Wales Fixing Country Bridges program. So more than $2.2 million has been allocated to Queanbeyan Palerang to replace the Foxlow Street Bridge at Captain's Flat, the Wallace's Gap Road Bridge at Bandura, Braidwood, and the River Forest Road Bridge at Monga. And, you know, this is on top of disaster recovery funding, where we've been able to replace several aged and damaged timber bridges in the region with concrete bridges. The Lions Bridge and Monga Lane, that was damaged by the recent bushfires and has been replaced. Recently, the guardrails were installed to complete the new Forbes Creek Bridge, and components for the new Gidley Bridge have been delivered and a sidetrack constructed ready for work to replace that bridge. So Council's also received funding not so long ago for the replacement of the Brickkiln Bridge. Design work is being finalised for the replacement of the Reedy Creek Bridge also, and funding is being allocated to a bridge over Halfway Creek to access the Bungendore Sports Hub. So there's, you know, it's not well known, but there's a lot of work going out in across our region in replacing bridges.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah.
All right, now regional jobs. We've got some things happening there.
Yeah, that's also good news. There was an announcement a week ago, an announcement of the South Joh-Brumbra Innovation Precinct as the state's third regional job precinct. And it's quite an exciting development for the region. Being a regional jobs precinct means that the project, the South Joh-Brumbra Innovation Precinct, can be fast-tracked through state planning agencies. The state government allocates a team to every regional jobs precinct to expedite matters. All the studies and assessments, biodiversity, all have to be done. They're funded for, and they're fast-tracked through the various government agencies to be able to get that project on track. So this precinct, you know, which is all part of the South Joh-Brumbra residential development, the regional sports hub, the new high school. So this innovation precinct will target industries such as defence, space, cybersecurity, information technology, scientific research. So it's a terrific boost for employment in our region.
Right. So it's a little bit like that one on Canberra Avenue by the caravan park there, is it? Where they're just off to the left as you're heading in towards Canberra.
Yeah, Simonston.
Yeah.
A bit like that, but more like the Wollongong University Technology Precinct
right.
There at Wollongong. That scale of development.
Oh, okay. All right. Sounds pretty good then, doesn't it? All right. Now, Queanbeyan Sleep Bus launch. What's this all about?
Well, the Sleep Bus has arrived in Queanbeyan. Oh. So it was launched on Friday 2 weeks ago. I was part of that launch, and it had a huge response across the country in terms of media, Perth, ABC, Queensland, all taking it up. Even the BBC, I understand, did a bit of a report on the Sleep Look Bus. This is a great initiative. Like most urban areas, Queanbeyan, we have a number of homeless people and rough sleepers from time to time. I'd have to say sort of regularly. There's always two or three that one can find on any night. And look, the Sleep Bus is a modified bus with sleep pods, individual toilets. Each sleep pod has a TV. There's a kitchenette. The space underneath for homeless people who have, and many of them do have, a dog or dogs or a cat, pets, ferrets. I know. So the Sleep Bus, look, it's a great initiative, and it's going to provide temporary overnight accommodation for those people who are actually homeless or sleeping rough. So council is, really does support this community initiative, and we're providing space for the Sleep Bus at the Queanbeyan Visitor Information Centre building on the corner of Low Street and Farrer Place. And this is a project that's driven by the community, the Queanbeyan Housing Action Collective, and all the agencies and partners involved, fundraisers, and they've done a great job in bringing this bus to Queanbeyan.
Right.
There's a number of these buses operating out of Victoria, so it's the same company that have supplied this bus with the funding arranged through the community with support from council. So already in the first week, four homeless people took advantage of the Sleep Bus, were accommodated, and with all the agencies involved, they get to support the next day or days to try and, if there's mental health issues, they get support or more permanent accommodation. Even if it's medium term, they'll get that support and assistance. It's a great initiative.
Right, right. So it's not just a drop-in thing. It's a place where people can go if they're actually really want to get some help to improve their situation, by the sound of it.
Exactly, exactly. And at the Visitor Information Centre, of course, there's the public facilities there, and that's where in Queanbeyan we do see homeless people sleeping rough from time to time, not to mention around Crawford Street and other places, but you see it anywhere. And being in Sydney just last week, you know, just around the railway stations and so forth, it's a sad situation.
Yeah, for sure. All right, okay, now before we go to the music break, Tidy Towns Awards, and we got some local areas featuring.
Yeah, well, that's right. QPRC was represented at the Keep Australia Beautiful, Sustainable Communities, Tidy Towns Awards at the awards presentation at Murrurundi just, 10 days ago now. So two QPRC programs were nominated. We had the Platypus and Rakali Monitoring Program in Queanbeyan, and also the Queanbeyan Riverside Tourist Park Energy Upgrade Project. The Platypus and Rakali Monitoring Program won the Habitat and Conservation Award, which was really good. And other local winners included Environmental Communication Award, which went to the Majors Creek Festival Waste Management and Sustainability Engagement Program. The Return and Earn Litter Prevention Award was won by the Braidwood Scouts Group, and the Response to Climate Change Award went to the Maloon Institute Rehydration Initiative. So congratulations to all.
Yeah, sure.
Good result at the Tidy Towns Awards.
It is. Didn't we do pretty well last year?
Yeah, I think we won a number of awards also, but we haven't won, you know, the Tidy Town Key Award ever.
Oh, okay.
I think it went to Albury.
Right.
This year, the tidiest town. But anyway, we will continue to be in there.
Yeah, persevere. All right, music now. What have you got for us this week?
Oh, another one going right back. Billy Thorpe and the Aztecs.
Right.
Somewhere. over the rainbow.
Right, indeed.
The rainbow, way off high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. Upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Where troubles melt like lemon drops, away above the chimney tops, that's where you'll find me. That you dare to dream really do come true.
It's a very moving song, that, isn't it?
Yeah, Billy thought he was a bit of an idol, or all our mothers in the 60s, early 70s. Billy, lock your mother away thought.
Right, indeed. All right. Okay, so, back to the council meeting now. And the council awarded a tender for the long-planned Queanbeyan Civic and Cultural Precinct and QPRC head office.
So yeah, the Queanbeyan Civic and Cultural Precinct's been developed to be, you know, the transformation trigger to rejuvenate the Queanbeyan town centre. So the business case for this $70 million project was prepared back in 2019 and approved, and it's proposed to be the administration building for QPRC and also contain the Queanbeyan Library along with three levels of office space for tenants. And the Department of Regional New South Wales has already locked in to occupy that space with 120 new positions being housed in Queanbeyan, which is going to be a big boost to our town centre, just in people moving around, lunchtime, shopping and supporting Queanbeyan. We received five tenders back in December, and after much negotiation between the staff and tenderers, council resolved to enter into a contract with ATCO Construction Group. This was back on 10th of March at the Planning and Strategy Committee meeting. So we awarded the contract to ATCO Construction Group, and that's for design finalisation and construction. And we expect site works to get underway next month.
All right, so that's finally happening.
After years and years, I can tell you, of looking at options and planning. So
right, yeah. And all the drama over the tenders as well, because there was a bit of a drama over that, wasn't there?
There was indeed. Renegotiate
things.
Non-conforming tenders, it's always a bit of a headache to negotiate your way through.
Yeah, sure. All right. And Braidwood specific area things.
Yeah, well, there's a number of matters that council addressed. I'll start with the Main Streets Upgrade Fund. So council resolved to establish a new fund known as the Main Streets Upgrade Fund, which will be administered in accordance with guidelines that were agreed. And also, at the same time, to just suspend for 2 years the Special Heritage Fund Grant Scheme, and to use that funding of $150,000 each year, so over 2 years, the $300,000, for the Main Streets Upgrade Fund. Now, the purpose of the fund is to encourage improvement in the overall appearance of commercial buildings in the main streets of Queanbeyan and Braidwood. And preference will be given to heritage-listed buildings, but other buildings can also be included, subject to their application. Funding will be by application and be on a dollar-for-dollar basis up to a maximum of $5,000 per site, and applications will be competitive. So examples of the works that may be funded include exterior painting and shop front decorations, external repairs, replacement or refurbishment of building facades. So we envisage that potentially between 20 and 40 buildings in the main street of Braidwood and Queanbeyan will benefit from this expenditure of around $10,000 per upgrade. But of course, in many cases, it'll be a lot more, depending on what the property owner contributes or wants to do.
Right.
So it's about providing that incentive. It's a similar scheme but of lower value, worked very successfully about 10 to 7 years ago in Queanbeyan, but there's a lot more work to be done, and we think it's a really good move, and council unanimously supported that new fund.
Right, certainly sounds pretty good.
Another matter we considered, local matter, was the Big Island Planning Agreement. And, of course, that's agreement in regard to the Dargues Reef Gold Project at Majors Creek. And the report to council followed a recent exhibition of that deed of amendment, which, among other things, amends the annual payment by the developer towards road infrastructure works by increasing the payment amount and actually clarifying that that payment is to be put towards ongoing pavement upkeep along the haulage route being the Majors Creek Road.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other matter... I think that's essentially it, those key Braidwood items.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so there are other things that came up. Results of the Shop and Win?
Yeah, the results for the local Shop and Win 2020 campaign, which was refreshed in 2020 with a new branding from QPRC's overarching tourism campaign, the Treasure Trail. So the final numbers are now in, and the total spending across Braidwood and Bungendore was about 20% higher than the previous year's campaign. So that's an increase of $2.98 million, an additional $2.98 million actually injected into the local economies of Braidwood and Bungendore. Mainly largest increases were in the retail and food services sector.
Right. Oh, that's a good bonus, isn't it?
Yeah, good result.
Yeah, sure. Okay, and now we've got the annual community grants programs now open.
Yeah, that's open for 21-22 financial year, so the applications are now open. We're offering, as per usual, up to $2,000 per eligible community organisation. There's the two categories to cater for: running costs of a program or service and or the cost of venue hire by that organisation of a council-owned facility. Applications close on 7th of May. And, of course, all the details and application forms on the QPRC website. Now, the next item I just want to briefly mention is the community meetings. And I'm sure most listeners will know we held, as a council, community meetings in Queanbeyan, Braidwood and Bungendore twice each year, generally around April, May and October, November. And last year, of course, these meetings were held remotely. But with the easing of COVID restrictions, we'll be returning to face-to-face meetings this year. So the meeting for Braidwood is scheduled at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, the 11th of May. And it's to be held at the Braidwood Servicemen's Club, given that the Bushfire Recovery Centre is still operating in the old library building. So that's 6 p.m. Tuesday, 11th of May at the Braidwood Servicemen's Club. We'll be discussing the draft operational plan and revenue policy, fees and charges. There'll be discussion about the council elections coming up, the Queanbeyan Civic and Cultural Precinct, which I mentioned, further information on that. There'll also be project updates, including LaSalle Street, the Braidwood Pool, Majors Creek Road, Narriga Road, the car park, customer service, library, bridgeworks, and the Montkiddy Bridge pedestrian crossing. So that's all on the agenda, and of course plenty of time to hear questions and suggestions for our draft operational plan.
All right, so pretty important to be along there if you want to make a comment about or hear all the latest details. All right, okay, so it's Easter starting tomorrow, and it's the Good Folk National Folk Festival, which we had a little bit of a chat about last time.
Yes, and it's all happening Saturday and Sunday in Queanbeyan. Good Folk, the National Folk Festival in Queanbeyan. Look, there's some 22 concerts, a really busy 2 days, across a number of venues, including the Q, the Bicentennial Hall, the Historic Royal Hotel, the Campbell and George Club, and also in Crawford Street Precinct.
Yeah, some busking.
Saturday from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. All the buskers will be out, I understand.
Yeah.
And the lineup includes the 2021 Golden Guitar Awards Female Artist of the Year, Fanny Lumsden, Central Coast Trio, Little Quirks, one of Australia's most enduring musical ensembles, and Michelangelo and the Black Sea, just to name a few.
And Franklin B. Pavitt is amongst it as well, I hear.
Yes, exactly.
And they're
I'm looking forward to doing the official welcome on Saturday afternoon at the Bicentennial Hall.
All right. Okay. Well, anything else that you wanted to mention? No, that's it. Okay. All right. Well, have a great Easter and Anzac Day from here, all of us here at the radio station. And we'll catch up with you again Thursday 29th of this month for our second session this month.
Second session for the month. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Looking forward to it. And happy Easter to Braidwood and all the locals in the Braidwood region.